August of 2024, just last year, the U.S. Surgeon General issued a warning, and he said that parenting can be harmful to your mental health. That's why we pay the Surgeon General to figure that out. Well, his name is Dr. Vivek Murthy, and he said that parents are under dangerous levels of stress. Like, no kidding, right? But now, Murthy isn't suggesting that we quit having children or that you bail on your current children. He's just acknowledging that parenting is rather demanding. Not only so for caring for their physical well-being, but also for their spiritual well-being. So today, before we dive back into our series, Preaching Through the Book of 1 Corinthians, I wanted to take a Sunday and just speak about something that's important to us as a church family. And that's the well-being, the spiritual well-being of our younger generations. Now, this is a time where attention is often turned to younger generations. Today is Mother's Day. We just had parent-child dedications. We have graduations going on. College yesterday. High schools are happening. So today is more than simply a message that lines up with the season and our calendars around Mother's Day or graduation. This is really about who we are as a church family. This is our vision and mission as a church. You know, you hear us talking just about every week that our vision here at Journey is to help people like you find, follow, and be like Jesus. And the way we do that here, our mission then, is that we want to make disciples or followers of Jesus who go on to make disciples. So we strive to make disciples that are so much in love with Jesus that they cannot help but talk about him. They cannot help but make other followers, other disciples of Jesus. And another way simply to say that is that we make disciple makers. Now that includes every one of you. Everyone in the church family that we call Journey is called to and responsible for making disciples. It's all inclusive, not just the paid staff. It involves women and men, young and old, and you don't have to be a trained scholar to make disciples. You don't have to have a Bible college degree or go to seminary to make disciples. You don't have to teach a class to make disciples. As a church, we intentionally and relationally make disciples of Jesus from the toddler level all the way up through more seasoned adults, those with gray hair and no hair. So our model here is really relational disciple making. And by that I mean we build relationships with those around us, which then can lead to and encourage spiritual conversations. So today I want to talk about making disciples at the family level. And this isn't just about honoring Mother's Day. It's about honoring God's design for passing our faith on to the next generation. So that involves all of us, whether you're married or single, whether you're a parent or foster parent, whether you're a grandparent or a guardian, or a next-door neighbor, or a ministry team volunteer. All of us in this family that we call Journey are called to be disciple makers. So this morning, I want to look at a text from the Bible, from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy is back in the Old Testament. It's the fifth book in the Bible. And just to give you a little context around Deuteronomy chapter 6, back in those first few books of the Bible, we read a lot about a leader named Moses. If you remember the story of Moses, he was the one that led the nation of Israel out of slavery from Egypt. And he also led them during a period of wilderness wanderings after that. So now in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the people are about to enter a region and land that God had promised them from the beginning that would be theirs. It was called the land of Canaan, or the Israelites simply referred to it as the promised land. So Moses speaks to the people of Israel on the edge of this land. They're about to enter into it. And they're, as they do, as they enter the land of Canaan, they're going to be living and moving amongst people who do not believe in the Lord God. They're going to be living amongst people who do not worship the Lord God, but worship a variety of other pagan deities. So he's urging his people to remain faithful to him. So it's really a rather fitting text for us today. Because I know many of us, we live and move and work amongst people who do not believe in the Lord God, who have a variety of different spiritual beliefs. So this passage from Deuteronomy 6 really forms a central confession of their faith, of their belief. And according to Jesus, this also forms a central confession of the Christian faith, because Jesus refers to it as the greatest commandment. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So Moses speaks to the people of Israel here, but he also speaks to us today in 2025. And he charges us with shaping the future generations of spiritual leaders, of future generations of disciples. So a more concise way to sum it up is to simply say this, that loving God wholeheartedly means living and passing on his truth intentionally. So this is an applicable text, not just for Mother's Day or Child Dedication Day or graduation time. It's applicable for any day, Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, parenting sometimes feels just like survival, doesn't it? It feels like you just get through the day, get through, you know, one more day. And sometimes it feels like that, but it's also about making disciples at the family level. But I want you to notice the starting point of it all. It's not with the other person. It's not even with your child. It's with our own heart. It starts with us. So that's why this text begins and just says, "Love the Lord passionately." The Hebrew people, Israel, they refer to this passage. They call it the Shema. And Shema is this Hebrew word that means hear. The very first word of that passage. In other words, they're saying, listen up, pay attention, this is important. And then it goes on and makes a declaration of who God is. It's an affirmation that the Lord alone is God, that the God of the Bible is the only God that there is. So therefore, it calls us to an exclusive allegiance on our part. He's saying there's only one God, so then our loyalty, our allegiance, our devotion must be towards him and him alone. So he says we love the Lord with all of our heart. That's our will, our emotions, those internal things of who we are. And then it says we love the Lord passionately with our soul. In other words, our full, entire life and being. And we love the Lord passionately with all of our strength. I mean, that's this idea of greatness, this sense of muchness, energy, our resources, our intensity. All of this stuff is wrapped up in how we are to love the Lord. So to be a disciple of Jesus is a call to a total and holistic lifestyle of obedience. That involves our mind, our soul, our body, our resources. It's a lifestyle of worship of him. And by that I mean that not just singing songs all the time, but every rhythm of life is honoring God. Every thought and action, both public and private, both what we say in public and what we do behind closed doors, every emotion, all the use of our resources, all of these are shaped and framed by our love for God. And Jesus himself said in both Matthew and Mark that this alone is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with everything that you have. And for example, if you're married, your marriage vows call you to complete devotion. By nature, marriage vows are saying, I'm 100% all in. And a spouse who gives only partial love is really a breach of God's covenant design for marriage. So likewise, God calls us to a full-hearted, full-souled, full-bodied commitment from us as his followers. He calls us to live a life that's permeated by who he is, that we marinate our lives in God's love so much that it infuses every aspect of who we are. And at the family level, that means we teach and model this love for God to younger generations. You know, your children's love for God or experience of God is often seen through your own passion for Jesus. You see, Jesus catch fire more than they follow a list of rules about religion. You know, they're watching you day in and day out. And they know, they can see if that love for God is real in your life. The Apostle Paul is a man that wrote a lot of letters that became many of our New Testament books. And as he wrote these letters, he wrote them to different churches and to different people, encouraging them and strengthening them. And one letter he wrote was to a co-worker and young protege named Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, Paul pauses and encourages this young follower of Jesus. And this is what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, I thank my God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you. Remember you, Timothy, in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And then catch what he says next. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. When Paul is writing that, he's pointing out that Timothy's faith started with his grandmother, then was passed on to his mother, and now it's his own. It's this beautiful picture of spiritual generations being handed down. So the foundation of Timothy's faith then and there really was laid two generations prior. Now that was Timothy's upbringing. That was his family experience. But then just a few verses later, Paul encourages Timothy to do the same to others, to carry it on, to pass it forward. Because in chapter 2, verse 2, it says this, and the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. And I love that because the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, people have poured into you. Your family has poured into you to build your faith up. Now go pour into other people. Encourage that in others around you. In other words, he says, go make disciples who can make other disciples. And Journey, that's why we do what we do. You know, I really think the best gift that we can give to one another is a passion and love for Jesus, a passion and love for the one true God. And I see that taking place here at Journey on a regular basis. You know, our ministry volunteers pour into students and children and other adults, from our small core groups that we call D groups, to life groups, to men and women's groups, to Ignite High School ministry and Rush Junior High ministry, down to our toddler Sunday school classes. We have men and women who are sharing their passion for Jesus. We are seeing life-changing decisions for Christ being made. We are seeing disciples being made. So my question for all of you today is your love for Jesus visible and tangible? Is it contagious? You know, we can't expect the younger generation to place a priority on faith if we are not modeling that ourselves. So God's word must first be on our hearts before it can be on our lips. So the starting point for making disciples is with us, is with our own love for God. So love the Lord passionately. But then second of all, learn the word persistently. Deuteronomy 6 uses this phrase, impress them on your children. Impress the commandments on your children. The idea there behind the word impress means to sharpen or to repeat, to be diligent. It carries the idea or suggestion of engraving or etching or sculpting. You know, what one tap with a hammer has little effect, but repeated small taps can eventually form a masterpiece. You know, this is a beautiful picture of a sculptor working on stone to create a masterpiece. Just consistent, deliberate teaching can sculpt a child's heart for God. Now, I'm not saying beat them over the head with a hammer and chisel. That's not the idea. But it's just that repeated tapping, saying, hey, this is important. This is important to us as a family, and it's important enough to pass on intentionally and repeatedly. So it's that persistent, intentional training. It's not casual or occasional. So what does that mean? It means that we have intentionality in our family. Intentionality with spiritual conversations. Because spiritual growth is not accidental. It doesn't just happen. You know, you don't just wander around and find yourself on Mount Everest one day. You know, it takes planning. It takes work. It takes choices along the way. But it also takes repetition. You know, weekly and daily rhythms in the Word of God and in prayer. It takes integration where it permeates every aspect of your home when you're away from home, at bedtime, at mealtimes. And by that I mean it's not just a Sunday morning or youth group thing. And it takes personalization. I mean, the goal is personal ownership of faith. So that your children or your grandchildren, you know, are not riding on the coattails of your faith, but they're making it their own, where we can all say that, yes, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. So what that can look like in your home could be Bible reading and prayer as a family. It could be just conversations around faith and not just formal instructions, where you're discussing God's truth naturally throughout the day. You know, where you're asking your children, hey, what did you talk about in Sunday school today? Or how was youth group? You know, what did you guys talk about in youth group? You talk about what you're reading and studying in your life group, or what Bible passage your D group is going through. So it's about just persistence. It's not about perfection. You know, God just wants us to be diligent and to make progress. And intentionality means just engraving God's truth on our hearts so that we can shape the future generations through that integrated life-shaping modeling. So another question for you this morning is, what regular rhythms in your life reflect a priority of God's word? You know, how would you answer that question? Deuteronomy 6 calls us to love the Lord passionately. It calls us to live the word persistently. And thirdly, it calls us to live the truth publicly. I love Deuteronomy 6 because it paints a picture of faith woven into everyday rhythms of life. Let me just read part of that again, beginning in verse 7. Impress them, he's referring to the commandments, on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. We begin to see that faith is not segregated to a certain day, a certain hour, or a certain time, but it saturates all of our life. It's always present. It's always before us, surrounding everything and every thought. So step by step, moment by moment, when you're waking up, when you're going to sleep, when you're moving in and out of your home, there's conversations around faith. And faith really arises in those daily moments of life. Like when you're driving your kids to school, man, you can start talking about trusting God. At bedtime, you can pray together and thanking God for the day. Over meals, you can thank God for his blessings and talk about how you're seeing God move. You know, biblical faith, it's never seen as private. It's never seen as private. It's personal, yes, but it's not private or secretive. So another question for you to consider. Is the younger generation seeing an everyday kind of faith in you? When those younger look at your life, are they seeing faith lived out? You know, Journey, our love for God, our learning of his word, our living out his truth can really create an eternal legacy. It lays the foundation for future generations to build on. I read a study this week that was published in a journal called Computers and Human Behavior. And this study, this team of scientists got together and evaluated 118 children ages 3 to 6. And here's the scary part. Their study found that overall, kids are more inclined to trust machines over humans. And the study revealed that children's concept about, in their minds, who was trustworthy and who wasn't. And the children showed a strong preference for robots over humans. So when both robots and humans were shown to be equally reliable, children were more inclined to ask robots questions and accept their answers as true. Now, even when robots were intentionally programmed to be wrong, children still preferred them to reliable adults. And children also proved to be more forgiving of machine-based friends versus their human ones. Because when a robot made a mistake, the children perceived it as accidental. But when adults fumbled or adults made mistakes, children thought those missteps were intentional. And when asked who they would want to learn from, a majority of those 118 children, ages 3 to 6, chose robots over humans. I mean, that's scary. But you know what, Journey? We can change that. And I believe that we can do so by building relationships. I mean, like flesh and blood relationships with those younger than us. We can change that through intentional and relational disciple making. And when we have those relationships, we then can be talking about our faith in Jesus. So I want to encourage you today, man, cultivate a Christ-centered culture in your home. I mean, just make that a regular habit in your house. And then create regular rhythms of spiritual conversations, whether it's car rides or meal times, bring up matters and issues of faith. Create and celebrate spiritual milestones. I mean, mark those moments where you remember God's faithfulness. Here at Journey, when we do baptisms, we always give each person a certificate of baptism as just a way to say, hey, remember this date. and we give them a devotional book, again, as a reminder that this was an important moment, and we want you to build upon it. So celebrate baptisms. Celebrate when you go on, say, a mission trip, or when your children go to church camp or CIY trips this summer. Maybe create a family prayer journal where you can celebrate those spiritual milestones and mark those times where you see God moving. But also involve your children in ministry. You know, help them to see that no matter their age, that they belong on mission for God. So serve and volunteer together with them. You know, teach them to pray. Teach them how to open up God's word and to read it. You know, help them, you know, volunteer at different ministries of the church. I mean, I would challenge you even to encourage your children, encourage younger generations to consider vocational ministry. Maybe God is calling them into ministry as a career. Connect them with the church community. I mean, faith grows in community. And encourage intergenerational relationships. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 6 isn't just about Moses and Israel heading into the promised land. It's a call for all of us to write God's word on our hearts, in our homes, and in our habits. You see, loving God wholeheartedly, it's a generational thing. It means passing on his truth intentionally. As the praise team comes back up this morning, you know, I saw this played out this past Wednesday at our junior and senior high youth group end of year party. It was the last Wednesday night for our youth group, and Jack and Jen and all the volunteers, they just did this knockout major rager party. And it was a cookout. They had nine square, cornhole, all these other games. I didn't even know what they were, but they were having a great time. And it was fun just to watch all the relationships, all the conversations taking place built in around Jesus. And I sat there as I was serving burgers, and I'm watching the adult volunteers just interact and pour into the younger generation. And you know what? All of us can do that. And it's not just in youth group. You don't have to be a youth group volunteer to do it. All of us can pour into younger generations. But it begins with each one of us to love the Lord passionately, to learn the word and be able to pass it on, and then just live it in our everyday life and rhythms, and be used by God to influence and change the future generations for the gospel. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for a scripture like Deuteronomy chapter 6 that's not only a call to us, but a challenge as well. Father, give us a passion so much for you that we cannot help but share your gospel message, that we cannot help but pass it on to younger generations. And we pray, Lord, that we as a church family can invest in those younger than us so that they in turn can invest in others. So, Lord, give us that desire today. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Let's stand together as we worship.